We're burning daylight.
But you cook the gravy until the butter.
Yeah. And then the butter rises. Is that how it is, the butter?
Okay. All right, ready to answer? Jules, you ready to roll? All right. All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's approximately 10 a.m. on December 16th. We're meeting for a work session on a variety of cases, PU 13, 195, 194, 743, PU 13, 742, 708, 707, 706, and 813. I think that includes all of them. The kind of set the stage a little bit. The commission has been working since February of this year on a rate case, ADP for wind, ADP for natural gas. We have both councils with us, if you will. Alana has been representing us in the rate case. Mitch has been representing us on the ADP for the wind and the gas. We've got commission advisors here. Basically, we've been working three different tracks for quite some time. But I put a letter in a while back merging some of these to be able to include the record for all of them back and forth. We had a special meeting last week where we further set the stage to include more evidence. Pat is working on a document that we'll be including in the record sometime that basically takes this chart that shows the one peak that we talked about at a work session. And I think, quite honestly, the discussion that the commission had around that switch from 12 CP to 1 CP really spurred the settlement agreement, which was filed last Friday. And so I think the settlement agreement is really why we're meeting here today for the work session. I would just throw out there my comments right away to my colleagues. I'm adamant that we follow due process. And when you get a settlement agreement in, that's what it is. It's a settlement agreement that, in my reading through it numerous times, to start having a discussion with the company or advocacy staff on a settlement agreement is just premature. I think we schedule a hearing right now, and we can put it on our meeting tomorrow, and we fully have a hearing on it. There's some really good things in here, I think. There's also some things I'm very concerned about. And to start having informal discussions with the company, we need to have people on the stand that say this is what it means exactly to them, so at some point in time you can refer back to what this meant, and it's on a record somewhere. I'm happy to go through if there's questions or discussions about certain things about the whole case setup, but, you know, there's due process. I keep saying that because we want to make sure we button up this record very tight. I still have very strong concerns about giving away the potential of going back to a 1 CP. So that's something that the settlement agreement doesn't necessarily touch, but we'll see how that shakes out. And also the return on equity. So that's kind of, I guess, my set the stage. I just think that would be our best path forward is to set something right now. So I'd be happy to hear from my colleagues and then our attorneys. Or other way, if you gentlemen, ladies would prefer.
I agree with due process. I mean, I think we all do. Nobody wants to shortchange public information or participation in this and the appropriate processes. I was advocating for an informal hearing as soon as possible. I think that doesn't jeopardize due process in any way. It just allows everybody to speak openly and have our questions answered as quickly as possible. So I agree with you. Let's schedule that informal hearing.
Actually, I would prefer a formal hearing where sworn in testimony because we have to have a hearing on a settlement agreement no matter what. So let's have a formal hearing where testimony is sworn in so we can refer back to that with exactly what was meant by the company, what was meant by staff, and we've got a record that we can refer back to. I think that's why the point of buttoning up the record real tight.
Fine with that, too. Just puts us out the notice requirement until we can have discussions about this, and I think in some respects what we did with the MDU gas settlement agreement was helpful because it got sort of the facts on the table early on and for the public as well, and an informal allows you to do that. But if you want to wait how long is the notice and scheduling, it'd probably be 6 weeks at least before we could really dig into this.
Schedule it. If we're going to schedule a hearing, my understanding, legal help me out, is you can just schedule it.
Well, there has to be a notice.
Issue a notice.
Yeah.
But you don't waste a lot of time, though, with doing a notice that we might be doing a hearing. You just pick a date and then notice that hearing.
Right. The one legal requirement is a notice. The minimum legal requirement is a notice of opportunity on the settlement. You couldn't do anything without that. So you're going to run a notice period either way. With a notice of opportunity, you might have another one because you might decide to have a hearing after that and have another notice. But a notice, a formal notice has to go out either way, and the waiting period has to pass either way. So you can have a hearing at the end of it, or you can wait to decide to have
a
hearing.
And that period of time is 30 days?
It's a 20-day minimum, but you publish in Fargo, and that turns it into like a 40-day minimum. So it just takes a little while to do a notice and get it to Fargo. You have to have a notice regardless, but a hearing, you can decide to go straight to hearing and not wait to see if you're going to have a hearing. And you can have informals with or without that.
Yeah. So I guess I've kind of struggled with this since I started here. Is there something wrong with informals? I mean, is there something it's considered not transparent, or it jeopardizes the record, or is there something about an informal that is less desirable than a work session, which to me is awkward because we sit here and we can't ask the people in the room questions. I mean, can, but it's frowned upon, and it's just goofy. It feels goofy to me.
Most of this is opinion. A little bit of this is precedent. The informal hearing in a lot of cases substitutes for a formal hearing, but it doesn't get facts on the record. It's not sworn. It's not the kind of thing you have a transcript you go back to and point. You said thus and so, okay? And you saw how important the record was in the case where Pat Fawn said, that they said this in that other record. At an informal, you would not probably remember that line. Or, you know, you'd have a recording of it, but you'd have to remember to even go look for something like that. And so we use informals a lot when there are no factual issues. Technically, any party could object to using an informal. And the first instant that anybody objects in any way, shape, or form, you just switch to, okay, we'll have a hearing. Because the due process is protected by the notice and the hearing, not by the informal. It's a way for the sort of no-brainer, easy cases where nobody has a different opinion about anything. It's a way to have that vetted in a public forum. But if there's anything that complicates the record or anybody that would like something on the record subject to cross-examination and all of those protections, then I would always recommend you go to hearing.
So it's not a substitute for a formal hearing, which I wouldn't have suggested it be. It would just be a way to understand this in a more open manner where you can get information to inform yourself, and then you'd still have the hearing. Is there anything wrong with that approach?
I don't think so.
See, I would argue that the way you inform yourself is through your commission advisory staff, our people right here. We don't want to be getting in the habit of talking to the people in front of us directly. That's what the staff is there for. That's why we have our attorneys interpret things. I think there's a time and a place where, sure, that's why you have that informal discussion after the opportunity for a hearing is passed and there's not a lot of facts that being disputed. But in cases like this, that if you have questions on something, I have questions, I talk to staff, they work back over there, so you don't get yourself in an ex parte communication setup. That's exactly what you don't want. And so that's why I've found that it's better to follow the due process strictly, especially in cases like this that have potential for litigation all the way to the Supreme Court.
Is there ex parte communication risks in an informal hearing that is being broadcast and
no, not there, no.
If it's noticed right, no.
So everybody's there.
Okay.
And an informal to me, you know, I agree with everything Alana said. How I would probably oversimplify an informal hearing is an information gathering session to confirm what you already believe.
That's good.
With everybody present, okay? If there's real questions about what's going on, that's probably something that needs to be on the record at a formal hearing.
Yeah, if you had two different factual positions at an informal and you kind of chose one, because you wrote an order this way and not that way, and it got appealed, that would not support your decision, the one, even if it was the more believable one, because it wasn't sworn. So the other option, I mean, what I'm hearing is, you know, staff can sit down with the commission in more than one work session and work through questions, and no, we will not have a bunch of the answers, and we will have to go back to the company, but we can do that in letters. We can try to facilitate more information gathering before that hearing a number of ways.
Well, now Randy hasn't said much here so far. I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are.
Well, one question I have is not even about the case specific, but about all this procedure. Is there some way we can work with the Fargo Forum to not have that add 2.5 weeks to the process?
You know, you guys could call them and whine on them. And because that policy has been a hindrance for years. I mean, I don't know what, they're the only paper in the state. They want it on Monday by 5, I think, or even actually preferred in the morning on Monday, to publish on the following Monday. So if you don't have it to them by that Monday, you've got to wait 2 weeks to get it published.
Well, then that would add potentially 1 week.
At least 1 week, probably two, or at least one a week and a half, yeah. If you did it today, if you issued the notice today, I think we could this afternoon send it to them and whine on them and see if they'll get it in the paper
next
a week,
week
from today.
Yeah, and then count your 20 days from there.
And just to add to it, and it's not a requirement, there's no specific, as far as I know, any specific timeline we have to have for the notice of hearing, but I would say we should give at least 20 days to, I mean, we can say notice of hearing and have the hearing tomorrow. That's not sufficient notice for any interested party. You have to have at least enough notice to have interested parties enough time to, and the public, if they want to show up and review information and be prepared for the hearing.
And Julie and Randy, if you want to talk in general about some of the settlement, I mean, I kind of threw my thoughts out there. I think there's a lot of good things in there. I just want the full hearing, but my concerns still remain about the 12 CP and the 1 CP and the stronger leveraging of the North Dakota generation. I mean, I've already said publicly my position on the wind farms. I thought they were fair. I've said my positions on the gas. I didn't have any problems with those ADPs. So there's those parts of the settlement agreement I think I've already said. That's, I'm guessing, why some of that stuff is already in there. But I still think that we have to continue the dual path, because this 12 CP, 1 CP debate, in my mind, is what really finally got the company's attention to actually do this settlement agreement that we asked for potentially months ago. So I think that I don't want to give away the opportunity, if we can make it happen, of returning $20 million to North Dakota ratepayers with the change of 12 CP to 1 CP. And so Pat is working on that right now, so I think that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, that issue was one of the primary things that I focused on during the hearings,
absolutely.
The 12 CP and the 1 CP. I asked about it over and over and over again. Pat and I worked on that chart. Pat dug up the information. So I've been driving that all along, and I agree with you on that. That's a big deal. They do address that in this settlement agreement, and I was, in some respects, I mean, adding additional reporting on it, which I think would be helpful and help establish in, you know, with a longer time frame, some of the different outcomes of a few different allocation methods. So I thought that was an interesting approach and was glad to see that in the settlement agreement. To back up a little bit, I want to thank advocacy staff and the company for their hard work last week on this. I mean, you worked through every single remaining issue in the case, and I was really pleased to see that you had listened to a lot of what we were concerned about in our work sessions in terms of charitable donations. Those are out. Economic development donations, those are out. You listened on the allocation factors, the ROE reduction from 9.25% to 5% of rates, the longer term, you know, multiple year settlement, I think, is a benefit to ratepayers long term. Harder to stomach on the front end, perhaps, but if you're looking at rate increases every year anyway, there's some advantages to locking in and knowing what you're facing. So I think there's a lot of good stuff in the settlement agreement, and I think it offers a real opportunity moving forward. I'm eager to get the formal to get that process going as quickly as possible. Get the notice out. Let's pick the dates. Get the notice out. Can we schedule today? Can we do that in this meeting? Do we have to wait till Wednesday?
No, we can do anything today.
So let's get the ball rolling so we can keep the momentum on this. And you know, this clears out about 10 different cases on our docket, and all of which we need to make some decisions on. So I say let's get rolling as fast as possible.
I think too, and I think probably the formal hearing is the right procedure to move along with, and if their notice day to get the ball rolling there is Mondays, we should not wait till Wednesday then and cost ourselves a week. I do want to, on a smaller issue though, ask a question that I think can just get something off the table, because I'm guessing there's a clear answer to it, if this is the appropriate time.
Whatever you need, Commissioner.
As far as rate design, did I understand in the original request of 9.25% that their plan was going to be that residential was going to be a little less than that, 8.9-something, and commercial was like 9.4-something, and that this is going to follow a similar pattern, but it didn't really detail it. So if this were approved, would it be 5% across the board, or is residential and commercial going to be different?
That's one of those questions I have to ask the parties. Do you know? Is it in there in an exhibit?
I couldn't find an answer to that other than that it was modeling the original proposal. But
there's a lot of things. Oh, go ahead.
Where are you? The difference being Pat read the exhibits.
Number 4. It says for the 2013 increase, that would be apportioned to the classes based on the company's apportionment proposal in the case. And then the 2014 and 2015 increase would be across the board 5%. So they're doing their rate design kind of based on their class cost of service study, which is what they proposed in their application. They're doing that for the 2013 amounts. They're shifting the classes toward what the class cost of service study showed them. And then for 14 and 15, they're just doing across the board, 5%.
Okay.
I think that's the answer.
There's a lot of things I thought in the settlement agreement that are very much subject to interpretation. We're going to do something in the future and design something that during the hearing they can get more detail on the record about what exactly that means. That's one of the things that I thought was, it's good to have that in the settlement agreement. We've got to hammer out some more details, I think, before I'd be willing to go too much further in some of that. So
one other one.
Yep.
If this settlement would bring us to a point of having an average 2.6% increase over the past 25 years, what does that mean that we've had on average over the past 21 years? Whoever knows how to do that math, if they could figure that out for me, I'd like to know.
Okay.
I don't need it now, but at some point.
Are all the late filed exhibits in? That was a sticking point that, you know, here we are months after the hearing, and we still didn't have all the late filed exhibits. Have they come in now?
On the ADPs, my understanding is there was only one pending late filed exhibit, and it was my understanding that that was submitted, but I haven't had a chance to verify that yet. But it certainly would be submitted prior to any additional hearing.
And Alana, the rate case?
I don't know for sure either. I don't know for sure the one they said was coming.
But we had the one that Commissioner Crisman asked for about where their contributions
yes.
went to.
I thought I saw it, but I'm not sure. Yes, Ryan's nodding yes. The one on the Minnesota history, yes.
Okay.
It should be in the docket now. It must have got docketed on Friday afternoon.
And that's sort of one of my concerns as I read this. The point that Julie made earlier about how at least there's going to be further information forthcoming about how the different methodologies would have worked had we gone to a 1 CP instead of a 12 CP or something. And, you know, there's that. There's the potential of building a gas plant 20-some years from now. All these things sound good in agreement, but, you know, we only got this because we were slamming right against the door on making a change, and then suddenly at the last minute there was responsiveness to get something out. And so, you know, I wonder when the time comes for those, how detailed of information we're going to get. And, you know, the whole gas plant business being that far out, that when you're going to build something in 20-some years, you don't need to make any commitment to it this early, you know, acquiring land or rights of way or things like that. And so really nothing will have happened by the time these 4 years go by. And so just based on the responsiveness that we've gotten up to this point, I worry about the future responsiveness.
Okay. Julie, do you have any other questions? And we can schedule something. I'm looking down my notes here.
Well, I have a ton of questions, but, I mean, we're not really getting into the meat of the matter today.
Quick questions about procedure, I guess, going forward.
No, but I would say I would like to find a way to maybe this not on this one, but I like the informal hearing process. I think it is helpful to have all the parties at the table able to talk and broadcasting to the public for anyone who wants to hear. I just think it helps everybody be more aware of the issues and having that discussion early on. So facilitates, I think, better, more rapid understanding of the issues and informing the public and solutions. So I just I'm going to keep pushing on that and asking for informals versus work sessions because it's just more productive in my opinion. And I don't think it jeopardizes anybody's rights for information or ex parte communication or anything else.
Well, we'll see how it plays out because I think there's a time and a place for informals, but even in my time here, we've had numerous cases appealed to the Supreme Court, and the commission has always held its position because of strong records. I see your point.
Well, you have to get – it's not in place of other formal processes. I mean, I agree you can't base your decision on something that isn't on the record. That I understand, and I'm not suggesting that we do that. But I don't see the harm in opening up the process a little bit to facilitate more – collaborative discussion and understanding early on.
Some of the, and I'll throw it out there now, is that there's a time and a place where I like to share my opinion. And if we sit in an informal on case number A and the company says all their pieces and I don't say anything, I agree with them by not saying anything. That sometimes gets inferred. And so I don't like sitting in informals unless there's a time for it. That's the concern I have about informals, is that if the company says, we say this wall is green and I don't agree with them, and I'm waiting for the hearing to say that so I can get it in the record, I don't disagree with them, then it's like, he must agree with it. So it's part of that. I think you give it away. I think there's a time and a place, so I guess why I think you have to pick your fights, when to go right to the, not your fights, your when to really fully jeopardize it or put the record out there.
Can I just mention, you know, I think lately we've had a feeling like maybe the companies need to be quiet during these work sessions. But in the past, the commission has been able to ask the parties questions to clarify things during work sessions. And we've kind of strayed away from that. So I think that sometimes when you have a hearing and afterwards you want to get together to discuss it between yourselves, that the work session works well with the idea that if you need clarification on something and the company is sitting there listening, that you can ask them.
After the hearing has taken place, though.
Yeah, during the work session.
You've got your record developed.
Yep, it's not on the record, but yeah.
Well, in the MDU gas settlement, we had an informal on that. I don't think we said we were going to agree with it. We didn't really. The company just came in. They presented, advocacy presented, and we asked questions. And I think we were more informed going into the public input meetings. The public was more informed going into the public input meetings. And we could still today have a formal hearing on that settlement agreement without anything lost, and may do that very thing. So
the difference being that's a very simple and comfortable case compared to this one. And it's a
and I'd argue all the more reason to have more information
difference.
Out on the
yeah.
table early on.
I wanted to ask you, Commissioner Fedorchuk, if you wanted to go over your questions, because we would then everyone would hear them and we would follow up and produce, you know, answers or be sure they're talked about at the hearing or anything. There's nothing that says you can't do that here or individually.
Yeah, I'll just wait and do it either one-on-one or I'll ask the questions at the hearing.
Okay.
Okay, so should we try to find a date here? So when's the quickest we can do it? We should get a letter to the Fargo Forum, too, from them, for all Senate or somebody saying, hey, can you do things faster like the rest of the papers in the state? And maybe send one to Mr. Andrus over at the Newspaper Association.
If you did a notice today.
Okay.
And we got them to publish it a week from today.
Okay.
Then your closest date you could have a hearing would be January 13th.
And January 13th, you've got a work session for licensing division. We could do it. We could start in the morning and move that work session for licensing towards the end of the day, if that would be okay with you, Randy. I don't know what your schedule's like, Julie.
I frankly always urge when I'm talking to Jerry not to schedule it on the exact day because, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's helpful to have at least a day or two lag time in the notice in case there's an issue.
The 13th gives you 21 days.
Okay. I would recommend, and if Alana, if you disagree, let me know, but I would recommend at least 15th or later then.
Well, the 16th or 17th work for me.
Me too.
That works for me too. And the 23rd and 24th.
Yep.
Because with the Grandman's Convention.
16th and 17th work for me.
Okay, so which one?
That's 16th. Okay. We do?
I don't have any schedule, Patrick.
I don't know if they're out yet. I recall something on the 16th that doesn't. We can
it's
change
on the calendar.
See the 15th.
Commission meetings in the 15th.
Here's one thing to consider. We've got. Who's the ALJ on the Ray case? We've got two different ALJs
yes.
on procedural ALJs on the ADPs.
Yes, and we will have to have it reassigned and hopefully then just reassigned to all to Pat Ward.
Because they're procedural, I don't think that will be any
right.
issue.
I should check on the date. Mitch and I are calling Pat Ward right after this. I just talked with him right before. And we will double check the date with him. He'll probably get them all because Bonnie will be retired.
Retired by then, sure.
And is it possible to just do a motion right here in this agenda? I move the commission issue a notice of hearing, and then we'll prepare it, and you guys can sign it?
Well, you can't really add things to a special meeting, and this is a special meeting, so it would be safer to just schedule one for 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or something, and whatever, whenever we can. Plus, we need to check with the ALJ.
Should
Well, they're going to get it when they. I mean, I guess you mean you want to check with and see if they'll get it in for sure. Okay.
Should we? It sounded like everybody was free on the 17th too, just in case there's ALJ issues. Should we look at that as an alternative date then?
That's fine by me.
Or should we make the alternative date the next week, just in case there is some issue with scheduling?
I can go call right now and get right back to you. I mean, 1 minute.
Well, are you open, Randy, Julie, the 23rd and 24th, too?
Yes, I am.
Jumbo, you, Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we just get that, what match, yeah.
Well, the 23rd, as far as I have, is being held for a Basin Lonesome Creek sighting application.
We moved I had Esther clear those dates here. I think I didn't for you, but I think we were looking at the 28th for that date right now.
So the question, that is no longer the 23rd.
No. 28th Tuesday. Yeah, that's what we have on the calendar here, right, everybody?
Yes, I got the 28th. Hold for the.
I have just sorry, a hold.
I should have put you.
No, that's fine. Yeah. That, well, I guess that means. Luckily, you didn't tell me because I probably would have scheduled something there. So,
so you have the
23rd.
Do you want me to go on call?
Okay.
Well, we're going to have to gather anyway, so just pick the date that works and include that in the notice.
Okay. So we have any? We have 16, 17, or 23 all work?
Yep.
All right. So, and then what time do you want to do our next special meeting? How much time do we need? We got a 1:30.
Right before that, maybe.
We could do a 1:15 today.
Does
that work for you, Randy?
1:25 yes. If we're just more, right? We're just doing one quick little thing.
That's fine.
1:25 is fine.
Okay.
We said 16, 17, 23rd, and 24th.
I wanted to sit here for 15 minutes with you guys.
Okay.
16,
17, and 23rd, we're checking.
Okay, there was one more question about the hold off on the briefing schedule. I personally indifferent about that. I think that's between the companies and, or the staff and the ALJs if they wanted. I have no problem with that, to give another 30 days. But I think we should continue getting the briefing schedule because if this settlement agreement gets rejected, we'll have three orders very quickly on the wind farm, on a gas plant, and on a rate case.
Okay. Well, I think that it would be kind of a waste of the party's time to produce a brief before they know that the settlement's rejected.
I agree with that, but they have to ask.
After, okay.
Right?
Well, they've asked for the to be delayed. There's only one deadline, two cases, I think, one brief that's actually exists. The other briefing schedule, we said, I'm going to be asking the commission to set one because nothing was set in the rate case. And on those other five cases, is there a briefing schedule on those? I don't think so. Okay.
Well, but so, the point that I'm fine with, for me personally, if they want to adjust that, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Doesn't the request ask for it to be adjusted until after the hearing?
Yes, because you don't want to write your polarized position until you know if this is being rejected. So
is there a 30-day? I mean, there isn't really a 30-day option. It's either until the end of the
– right.
Or do we have – because we talked a lot about this last week – do we have the option of saying 45 days or 60 days? Or
the ALJ could say 30 days after or 15 days because everybody's half done after there's a decision on the settlement or something like that.
Okay. But
it's the decision on the settlement that kicks it back to being needed if you were to reject the,
no,
the settlement.
The papers that Patrick was working on to potentially be included in the record, that can still continue, though. I'd like that to continue, and if we get that completed between before the hearing, that can certainly be added to that record.
That's correct.
Okay, I still don't want you to stop that work, Patrick. Okay. All right. Going once, going twice, Commissioner?
No.
Commissioner?
So what we're holding right now the 16th, 17th, and 23rd. Is that?
But Alana will know that 10 minutes after the meeting
yes,
is done.
Yes, and you'll be on the phone with me, so.
Thank you.
What time are we looking at? 10 o'clock? Is that?
Nine.
I think nine at least. Start, I think you're going to need. You might need a day. There's a lot of stuff in here.
Maybe 8:30 if that.
8:30.
8:30 is better actually for that, and then just go for the day. Okay, we will go ahead and close the work session. Thank you all.